Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, the epitome of greatness, facing no one placing close. Sweetness on the beast that Walter Payton flow. On track to be the best, what you pacing for? Call play, still back, pump, fake, and throw. Who that? Drew breathing on the field. The document is monumental, shit real to real. No huddle.
Welcome to another edition of Fin Out of Water, everybody. I'd like to wish everyone a good morning. Today, it's your boy, your host, Rob Man, a.k.a. The Lonely Dolphin, here to you live from Massachusetts. And on today's episode of Fin Out of Water, today we'll be discussing some of the best matchups of Sunday. And I'm going to admit that while coming up with the list, not too many enticing matchups this week. Obviously, the New York Jets and the New England Patriots is the headliner of this week. But there really wasn't too many other games that one would say that you'd have to be dying to watch. In any case, it's just me right now. Should be a couple of other guys heading on. So I just want to go out and say if you're first-time listener, or someone who listens all the time, and you want to get in on some of the discussion, all you got to do is call the number here at 347-989-0591. The number to call is 347-989-0591. And I'm going to go and talk a little bit about a couple of names before the other guys get on. But looking at the landscape, first of all, I don't know if anybody's watching the Jags game right now, but it would seem that the Jaguars are actually putting it on the Bills, which, I mean, I guess that would be kind of predictable when you see the shape that the Bills were in. And coming into the season, a lot of people were high on the Bills. I was one of them. You know, they've dealt with their fair share of injuries, and that's definitely played a major factor into their disappointing start. But, hold on a sec. And we have someone joining us. Go ahead and introduce yourself, my man, to the people.
Wow, man. It's been so long since I've been on here, bro. I forgot the whole process, man. How's it going? What's going on, man? It's been a while, man. The game's back together.
Well, not yet. It's just me and you right now, Herbo. Just me and you right now. I told Gerson and Ivan. I don't know if Ivan will come. I'm sure Gerson will probably show up eventually. But it's not like I was looking at the slate of games today, and it's really not too many games that you can go out and say is like a must-see matchup today's show. Oh, and I believe Gerson is joining us on the show. Go ahead and say what's up to the people.
Yes, sir. You know who it is. Let's talk about this beautiful football.
All right. So since we got, you know, two of the mainstays, Herb and Gerson, all, we can continue on with this. Like I said, we're going to be talking about what would supposedly be the best matchups of Week 7, and we'll start with the bona fide best matchup, fellas. The New York Jets, with their number one defense, travel to New England against the number two offense in the NFL. Gerson, the resident Patriots fan, we always give you the reins when we talk about New England. What are your thoughts on this game as it's going to begin in about in less than an hour?
I believe it should be most likely, you know, a low scoring game. If I had to be honest, I give the Jets a great testament. For the simple fact that, you know, their defense is up there. They're no Bills. They're no pretenders. So, you know, my only hope is Fitzgerald throws like three picks, man. You feel me?
Fitzpatrick?
Yes. He throws like three picks. If he does that, for sure, it's our win. But, like, the Jets defense is scary, dog. Absolutely. And, you know, we don't have a great defense, situational defense like we did last year. You know, or anybody from starting lineup.
Hello, Gerson. Hey, Gerson, your phone's breaking up.
Man, got that DSL connection, bro. With a dial-up connection over there, man.
What would that have to do with the cell phone, bro?
That's what I'm saying. It's breaking up like you got dial-up, homeboy. Step outside or something, bro. That cheap-ass connection out of here, man.
Hey, I'll call you right back,
man. We on live radio, man.
Well, speaking of, we got Gerson's opinion. So, Herbo, the Jets and the Patriots, what you thinking?
I mean, in a vacuum, if you do it for the three levels of football, in all actuality, there's no reason why the Jets shouldn't dominate. Not even when it should dominate this game. But the problem is, one team has Tom Brady, the other team does not have Tom Brady. And we all know who has Tom Brady. Because the Jets have the better rushing attack. The Jets actually have the better receiving core. The Jets, by far and away, have the better defense, better cornerbacks. The Patriots have a better safety tandem. The Jets have a much superior defensive line, and the linebacking core is washed. You feel me? So if you put it in a vacuum, if I had Team A and Team B, and I told you all the players that played for them, you'd be like, oh, yeah, the Jets will win. That Team B could win. But when you got Tom Brady, all of that gets thrown out the window because he is the ultimate neutralizer to any defense because he gets the ball out so fast. So he neutralizes and nullifies any kind of pass rush. So I'm really interested to see who they put Darrelle Revis on. That's going to be very interesting.
Definitely. Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
Because Brandon LaFell's coming back, but he won't make much of an impact. He's not that good anyway. But, I mean, hey, he's another weapon. But if they put Darrelle Revis on Julian Edelman, that's going to leave a lot of other options for the Patriots because they're always going to know what coverage the Jets are in. The Jets can't hide their coverage if they have Darrelle Revis following them around the whole field or whatnot. So you're always going to know, okay, they're in man-to-man. So what am I going to do? How am I going to adjust that or whatnot? So it's going to be real interesting. It's going to be a chess match.
Yeah, most definitely. We have another guest on the show. Go ahead.
Not another guest. I'm calling back on a different phone, man.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't recognize the number. Well, welcome back, Gerson.
Yeah.
Welcome back. And, well, Herb pretty much listed all the primary points. When you're looking at this game, it's funny. It's funny when you live in New England, man, because it's like everybody's obsessed with the Patriots over here. Like, that shit, it's crazy. And I was talking to every guy that came to drop their keys off when I worked last night was talking about the game. They're all talking about the game. And a lot of these guys, man, Patriots fans do not see the Jets. There's a good portion of the Patriots nation that thinks this is going to be – they're going to walk all over the Jets. And I told a lot of these guys, I said, man, I mean, the Jets the past several years have actually, you know, given the Patriots a good fight no matter how bad they were. And they have a much better team. I mean, last year the Patriots beat the Jets, and it was last year. I mean, you can't always go off of that. But just to put it in perspective, last year the Patriots and Jets in their two games, the Patriots won both of those games by a combined 3 points. And that was a bad Jets team. So, you know, I expect this Todd Bowles Jets team, this is a well-coached team, like the other guys alluded to. The defense is awesome. They have one of the most suffocating secondaries. Darrelle Revis, I mean, God, Jesus, man. I mean, he allows an NFL passer rating of 39.1. That means there's only one other cornerback that has a passer rating in NFL that's better than him, and that's Josh Norman of the Panthers, who we will get to in our next game. The New England Patriots, man, you want to talk about a team that, in theory, you wouldn't think they'd be as good as they are, but like Herb so eloquently put it before, Tom Brady's ability to get the ball out faster than just about anybody neutralizes the fact that their offensive line isn't even that good. So what the Jets are going to need, their back end, their linebackers, their safeties, whoever's covering whoever, they're going to need these guys to be able to hold up their end of the bargain, because they got to make Tom Brady think for a second, because if they don't, Tom Brady's just going to get the ball out in under 2 seconds, and it's going to completely neutralize the pass rush, like they've done against, you know, like they did against the Cowboys in the second half of that game, like they did against the Bills that entire game. But we'll see. My thing is, the Jets have a solid team. I'm impressed with how well they've played. Chris Ivory has been a revelation for them. But my question is, what are they going to do if the Patriots can stop the run? Because we know that that's what the Jets are going to do. They're going to try to pound the rock. Can they count on Fitzpatrick? And that's the big thing. That's why no one is going to trust the Jets to win this game, because you know that the Patriots are more than likely going to put up a lead. And the one team that was able to put up a decent lead against them, the Eagles, who they've been up and down this year, they shut down Fitzpatrick when he had to throw the ball.
Listen,
Rod. What's up?
I'm telling you.
What's up?
This Matt Ivory is going to have a field day. He's going to have a field day. There's no that maybe we never stop. Like, we've been bad for the longest on run defense, dog. So, I see the man getting at least 120. I see 120, bro. But
no,
I mean, good news for the team.
I don't see 120, but I see effective runs. I don't think it's going to be like he's just going to, because he's effective. Like, you'll stop him, and then because he's so big, he breaks off a lot of tackles. So, he's going to have them drive sustaining runs, I believe. The reason why I feel like he might have a good game is because they can't drop a safety, bro, because they know Brandon Marshall is going to feast on any of their cornerbacks, dog. So they got to have a safety. And I like Malcolm Butler. I think Malcolm Butler is going to be really good in about 2 or 3 years when he fully develops, because I've never seen a man give up so much yard while he's in perfect coverage, bro. It doesn't make any sense, dog.
Hey, that's a very valid point, because when they show highlights of passes being completed against him, the man's right there. The man's sticking right to his man. That's a very interesting point. A lot of people in New England are high on him this year. What's up?
Oh, he just needs better ball skills. When he gets ball skills up to par with his actual feet work, he's gonna be a really good corner, dog, or whatever. So, but yeah, Brandon Marshall is gonna feast on him, not because Brandon Marshall is like going to hit him with routes. Brandon Marshall is just going to literally push him out the way like he's been doing every other cornerback he's faced this year, bro. The man is really big, man.
I feel like a lot of people forgot how good he was, though, because he wasn't doing it. Like, they wasn't using him in Chicago, man.
He was hurt. He was hurt last year. That's what it really was.
No, but for the last 2 years,
you're not going to say they were not, bro. They literally threw that man the ball every second they had, bro. Like, you're not going to say they were
Jeffrey
not using
Jeffrey been better than him the last two seasons.
Jeffrey had more touchdowns. He did not have any more targets than Brandon Marshall, bro. Brandon Marshall's just a possession receiver, dog. That's all it is. Literally, bro. Like, Jay Cutler had a hard-on for the man, like, literally.
He always had. since their Denver days, man. That's Jay Cutler's football wife, man.
The past 2 years they've been hurt. He's actually healthy, and he's just showing you what he can do. And the man's a great wide receiver, bro. Like,
bro,
he
bails out Fitzpatrick more than anybody I've ever seen. Fitzpatrick owes his life to the Jets receivers, because even Eric Akers made some catches for him. Like, that man's thrown some inaccurate balls, and Brandon Marshall's made some awesome catches, dog, in order to help Fitzpatrick's stats out. So, totally agree with that. But in any case, I'm pretty sure the consensus here is we all believe New England wins, and we'll see. Should be a good game. Should be the best game, but you never know. Moving on, we'll head to another interesting matchup. I think it's interesting. Tonight's Sunday night matchup. The Eagles, who are a really hard team to get a beat on, go into a surprising undefeated Carolina Panthers, who are, if I believe, what are they, 5-0, 6-0? Herb Gerson, they're 5-0, 6-0. I know they had a bye week, didn't they? I think they're 5-0.
Yeah, 5-0.
5-0, 5-0 Panthers, coming off a huge road victory in Seattle. And, people are talking. I know, and I'm wondering, man, before we go into this conversation, there's two fifth-year quarterbacks that have actually played the best football of their careers so far this season. So I want to ask you guys your opinions. Who would you rather, Cam Newton or Andy Dalton, based on how they've played this season? Herb, I'll start you off in this discussion. What you think?
Man, I have to say Andy Dalton because Andy Dalton needs a lot of talent to be successful. But like Cam, this is the part that drives me crazy about Cam supporters who are coming out of the road like, oh, I told you. Brad, nobody ever said Cam was a bad quarterback. Everybody, my whole thing with Cam was that he played inconsistent. He had bad mechanics because he relied on his talent. Talent is worse than it was last year, but his team is better. Why? Because Cam is playing better quarterback, which means if you had criticisms of Cam, you were right. He's showing you what he's capable of finally in his fifth year. You feel me? So all these apologies, oh, he doesn't have wide receivers. He has Ted Ginn, bro. But his team is 5-0. Why? Because he's actually playing the position how it's supposed to be played, but on a consistent basis. That's the difference. So he was actually holding them back. All these people saying he didn't have receivers and blah, 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 this and that. It's the same freaking team, man. In fact, it might be worse. You feel me? But they're 5-0 because that man's playing quarterback consistently. He's not throwing people 15 yards over their head. He's hitting them in stride. They don't have to stop for the ball. He's not throwing it in the dirt. His mechanics are on point, bro. So he's finally playing quarterback how it's supposed to be played up to his potential. And look at the difference.
Huh?
Why would you pick what's the name over him?
I'll put Cam because Cam's dynamic, bro. Like Andy Dalton isn't dynamic. Granted, he's playing incredible this year, but that man has Marvin Jones. He has two good running backs. He has A.J. Green. He has Mohamed Sanu. He has Tyler Eifert. He has the best, one of the best D lines. You need a lot of talent to get him to his best potential. Cam is showing that he could carry a decent team or an okay team.
That's a very fair point. Gerson, I already know Houston pick Gerson. You can't get Cam all the way.
Yeah, all the way. You got to take Cam, man. The man is such a great talent. And he finally showing what he has and everyone seen and his possibility, he's finally showing it. And, of course, you know, Dalton is, you know, a good regular quarterback. You know what I mean? He does got the talent. But I wish, hopefully one day, Carolina surround him with talent like that. And then you can truly see how great Cam can be. So, of course, I just got to go with the talent, though. So.
That's fair. I mean, I would have said Cam Newton off of just the strength of Cam Newton is you know, finally he's playing consistent football. And even though he doesn't have, you know, really any weapons on offense, because he's playing the position well, he trusts his defense. The Panthers have an incredible defense, man. Their defense is playing really well. They have one of the best, if not arguably the best cornerback in the NFL in Josh Norman. They have one of the best linebacking duos.
Don't you ever say that again, bro?
What you mean? Look at the
It's Darrell Revis and everybody else, bro. You know
I mean, generally speaking, if you just talk about how a player has played this season, Josh Norman, you can make the case for the guy being the best cornerback in the NFL. I'm not saying he's better than Revis, but, I mean, I wouldn't sleep on Josh Norman, man. I mean, he has the best NFL quarterback rating with more targets.
Josh Norman is going to be a first-team All-Pro. We're not even – he's going to be first-team All-Pro. I'm not saying that, bro. I'm a firm believer, dog. It's Darrelle Revis and anybody else. It's Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, and everybody else, bro.
You think Ben Roethlisberger is up there like that?
Hell yeah, Ben Roethlisberger is up there, dog.
No. Cause remember we used to have, you know, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning.
I'm always gonna have
Ben Roethlisberger. Like, Ben Roethlisberger is great. Like, he's a fucking playmaker.
No, here's my point, Herb. I understand that he's top 10. He's in top 5. You could say that, but like when we say there's no one else, like you think Ben Roethlisberger playing on the level of Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady?
Yes, bro. Like, why is he not? Like, look at that machine when he's inside the Steelers, bro. Look at this machine it is that makes it go. Antonio Brown is
but
nothing.
But he got a great receiver,
man.
Bro. He got arguably the best receiver.
Oh, okay. So when Tom Brady had Randy Moss, bro, he didn't have a great receiver. Like, bro, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, but that's
bro?
Like once. And
bro,
He made Emmanuel Sanders
a great receiver. He got Mike Wallace.
Sanders a great receiver, Ben?
Who was Emmanuel Sanders before he was a Steeler, bro?
He wasn't no first round pick, top 10 pick. He didn't make him. Listen, bro, what happened when Sanders went to Peyton Manning and everybody like, oh, my God, we didn't know he was this good and blah, blah, blah. What happened
to
that?
Because he was the third receiver on there, bro. What about Mike Wallace? Look at Antonio Wallace.
But it's the offense. Hold up. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I don't see him as an elite. In my mind, it's only Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers right now.
About Ben Roethlisberger, though? Like, you're not. What is not elite about him?
I just don't think that it's special. He's just got talent around him.
So when he didn't have all these receivers, bro, when he had before, because you got to understand, the man got drafted in 2004, bro. He went to the Super Bowl before Antonio Brown, Mike Wallace, and Emmanuel Sanders were even in the league. Them niggas was in high school, bro, when he was going to the Super Bowl. So what are you talking about, dog? You acting like they always been there with him. Like, what are you talking about, bro?
Well, he wasn't always. I don't think he's elite. That's my point. I know he's a great quarterback.
But you're not saying why he's not. He has everything.
Why he's not? I just don't think
he's
Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. That's all I'm saying, bro.
But you're not saying where he is, though.
Huh?
You're not saying
because
why
he's just not that special. That's it, bro. What else you want?
But you're not saying why not.
He's just not that special, dog.
But you're not saying why.
Just continue talking, man.
Yeah, bro. That's what I was saying. The elite quarterback, the two-time Super Bowl champion winning quarterback, you feel me? The guy who went 15-1 his rookie year. I'm going to keep talking about that guy, bro. But Aaron Rodgers has 2 Super Bowls and his credentials and done it as consistent he does in the playoffs like Ben Roethlisberger, then I'll let you finish, bro. But when you could bring up the stats and then tell me why he's not elite, then I'll say, okay, I respect you, bro. But you just talk out your ass, as usual, Gerson. But back to what I was saying, bro.
All right, we'll do this off the phone. All right, buddy.
That man is elite, bro. Ain't nobody going to tell me he's not, dog. But he's very elite. To me, there's certain players that are just another class. Somebody might have a better statistical season than them, you feel me? But you know what it is, man. This is Darrelle Revis and everybody else, bro. You feel me? It's them 3 quarterbacks and everybody else. You feel me? It's Julio Jones, A.J. Green, and then Antonio Brown and then everybody else. You feel me, dog?
Yeah. That's a fair shake. I can understand that. I mean, Darrelle Revis is undoubtedly – He's consistent. I mean, Josh Norman's just on the scene. I mean, you look at Darrelle Revis' portfolio, it's obvious he's the best corner. I still remember back in the days, I'm not even going to mention that guy's name back in the days when we were ignorant enough, or at least I was ignorant enough, to believe certain corners or a certain guy was better than Revis. Shame on me. But in any case, to talk about this game, the Carolina Panthers and the Eagles. Herb, you are the rival of the Eagles, so what do you think that your rival team is going to do against this solid Panther squad tonight?
It's very annoying because I need the Panthers to win, but I do not think they're going to win. I honestly believe that the Eagles will take this game despite of Sam Bradford.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of the spite of Sam Bradford. There's a lot of that. You know what? Before we go on, I just want to say, Sam Bradford, you're a special guy, man, because you're the first guy to look horrible in Chip Kelly's system. Sanchez looked better than that, man. Sanchez has looked better than that man, bro.
It's amazing,
bro. It's incredible.
It's truly amazing. Like, this man threw three picks and they still won. That's unheard of in the NFL, dog. That just shows how bad my division is, unfortunately. But the reason why I think the Eagles are going to win this game is because, surprisingly, they have the third best defense in the league. And if they didn't have to be on the field so much, bro, they might have had the number one rank, bro. Because if they had to, if they were on the field as normal as other defenses were on, dog, and they wouldn't get tired as fast and give up late leads and stuff like that, like they did against Washington probably a couple weeks back, they probably had the number one defense in the league, bro. But their defense is really good. Malcolm Jenkins can completely take Greg Olsen out the game. And when you take Greg Olsen out the game, what does Cam Newton have, bro? Granted, Brian Maxwell might be the worst cornerback in the league right now, dog. Sorry, bro.
I was waiting for it.
He might be the worst cornerback in the game right now. That's starting out.
Yo, that man gets beat every week for chunk yardage after chunk yardage after. It's nonstop. That man does not stop getting beat, man. It's damn, Byron. I mean, we all knew he wasn't going to be number one corner material, but he exposed might even be a nice word to use for what's happening to this man in Philly. Despite how well everybody else was playing around him, which is funny. They're making up for all his mistakes, as well as Sam Bradford's mistakes on offense. Gerson, what you thinking about tonight's game?
I might have to say that depending on what level the offense played, I believe the Eagles should win, though. Because it's just a great defense against Cam. You feel me? If he pulls it out his ass to win, it would be magnificent. But we all know it's just that the Eagles' offense is so inconsistent. And it's just so ridiculous how much one week they can look like the worst team in the NFL. And next week on offense they can look like top five or one.
Bro, they had one game where their offense looked good, dog. That's it, bro. And that was against the Jets.
Nah, they got two games. And then one where it's like all their points were scored in the fourth quarter or something. It's just that.
Oh,
like
that
I
was
said,
the Saints game.
Just,
when you play the Saints.
Yeah, so it's just like they're just so inconsistent, man. You know they got talent. I don't know if it's just the quarterback, even though he does suck. I don't know if it's just on him. I know the line is inconsistent. I know sometimes, what's his name, the running back, Murray, sometimes he get a break, sometimes he don't. So it's just, you know, it all depends on what offense shows up. But I would bet on the Eagles. Just because, you know, they got more talent.
That's fair.
The thing to me, is it Mike Shula, right? If I'm Mike Shula, I'm going to say, man, we're going to run this shit with Cam down their throat, dog. Like, that's what I would do. Then because they have smaller linebackers, you feel me, that is, as opposed to the standard size linebacker that could really put a hit on Cam Newton. So I would do a lot of readout option plays with Cam or whatever, but it's just who's going to get open. Because Ted Ginn is a deep threat, but he has hands of stone, and he can't run routes, bro. This man been in the league. This is what, 2008? He still can't run routes, dog. That's incredible, man. Incredible,
oh,
man.
Oh, man. It is.
That was a top 10 pick, bro. I can't believe it, man. Cam Cameron, boy, Jesus Christ.
That, I mean, it was Ted Ginn's defense, he was such a reach, dog. It's not his fault that we pulled the Raiders in that draft, dog. Like, we just pulled a Raider move in that draft.
No. He was not a Darius Haywood Bay, bro. A lot of I remember Ted Ginn coming out of Ohio State. A lot of people had him in the first round. He wasn't supposed to go in the top 10, but they had him like top 15, top 20, bro. So it wasn't that.
Darius Haywood Bey was a third round projected pick. That man got drafted in first. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
good point.
A reach. Hey, that's a reach, yeah. Man. You said
yeah,
you know who arms they use to reach with that? That nigga off of Street Fighter, bro. They be like, hey, or whatever, dog. They reach with that nigga arms, dude.
The yoga dude.
Yeah, the yoga dude, bro. They use his arms to reach for that draft pick, boy. God damn.
Oh man, that's funny. Well, we don't have too much time left on the show, fellas. So I just wanna ask this. We didn't get to any other games, but is there any games that you guys would suggest for anyone to watch outside of the two we mentioned, and give some reasons why? Garrison, I already kind of know your answer, but go ahead.
As terrible as the two teams are, I am kind of looking forward to see the Texans and Miami. I wonder if they're going to actually play like they played last week, Miami, the Dolphins, because then I can kind of understand who, you know, the Patriots face next week. So, you know, that's my game.
Huh. I don't know.
Oh, my God, bruh. Oh, my God, bruh. I just see Blake Bortles got to get benched, bruh. Get this man out there in the NFL, man. Please, bruh.
He threw a pick.
This man just threw the worst pick six I've ever seen in my life, dog.
How much time they got left?
Bruh, these guys were up 27-10.
16.
Now they're losing.
Oh.
No, they were up. No. It wasn't 16. They were up 20. They were up 17 points, bro. Then they scored again, made it 11. Then they got 15.
Oh, wow.
They're losing 31-27, bro.
Blake Bortles literally threw the game away.
How much time is left?
It's 5 minutes left. And this is the guy that Gerson said he sees talent in, bro. He see it, man. I see talent in Blake Bortles, bro. I be seeing that man, bro. He
of
got
course. How you think they got up 27 on him?
Got on him because they had two defensive touchdowns, bro. He had nothing to do with it.
Hey, that dog is playing.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Blake Bortles.
That was a win the game, man.
This man believes in Blake Bortles, but Ben Roethlisberger is an elite, bro. You hear that, America, bro? Not listen to this man when it comes to quarterbacks, America, please.
I said he got talent. When did I ever say he was great, Herbie?
I said you say he has talent, but you don't believe in Ben Roethlisberger. That's not
he's
elite. That's
not elite,
idea.
Bro.
Well,
he's not playing on Tom Brady's level. He's not playing on Aaron Rodgers' level. Bro.
But why? But my thing is this. Why not?
He's just not, bro. When he was balling, when he was throwing 47, when he had 4,000 yards, what was their record? Like 6-9 and stuff like that. He's not winning games, bro. He's just getting stats.
69 in the NFL,
so whatever,
cool,
dog.
Bro.
Whatever, bro.
That's mathematically impossible,
right,
dog.
This man elite, dog. He elite. With the best receiver in the game, he elite. Yeah.
I mean, you can't count that against him, Gerson. You can't count that against anybody.
I'm just saying the man's not. Listen, there's a lot of quarterbacks. There's a lot of quarterbacks. Tom Brady makes them. Tom Brady makes the offense.
Those never happen.
Those never
happen. There's two Super Bowls never happened.
Oh,
never
he won
happened.
Two Super Bowls, right? That's cool. That's awesome. That's whatever, bro. It
it's
don't matter. He's still not elite,
bro. No matter what the three. You got to, Gerson, I mean, Gerson, the guy's been the three of them. He lost. His only
I
Super Bowl loss is to
what
Aaron Rodgers.
It
means that he's a consistent
winner.
He's a consistent
winner. So what's your point? I'm not talking about him. I did not say he's not a great quarterback. Did that come out of my mouth? No. I said he's just not on that level where I would sit there and say that, oh, he's Tom Brady or he's Aaron Rodgers. No, bro.
So he's up there with the completion percentage. He's up there with touchdown passes. Up there with yards per game, but he's not. The first
so you believe
–
okay, here's the problem. This is how I'm going to get you right here. When we had the – when this is the argument, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, you know, Drew Brees. They're interchangeable. But obviously, with Roethlisberger, he's the worst out of the three, bro. You will never confuse that statement and say he's better than Tom Brady or he's better than Aaron Rodgers. You'll never confuse that.
No, what I'm saying is that if I put Ben Roethlisberger on the Patriots, they would still be great. If I put Ben Roethlisberger on the Packers, they would still be great because he's a great quarterback.
No. He can't move like Aaron Rodgers. The reason why Aaron Rodgers is great is because he can move. He can throw on the ball.
Gerson, Big Ben is known for his freelance playing, bro. What do you mean, dog? What do you mean, dog? The man can move and he can take hits, bro. What are you talking about?
He can't run like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is
don't
mean
to.
Tackles like him. It's a give and take, bro. It's all about buying extra time. It doesn't matter how you do it. All that matters is if you can buy extra time. Can Aaron Rodgers break off of a defensive lineman like this?
He's not on that level. Would you ever confuse him to be better than any of those two? Tell me.
I wouldn't pick him over those two, but he's in that plane, though. He's an elite quarterback.
I'd say he's
great. In that plane.
I'm giving you that he's great. I just won't say elite, bro. That's all.
Oh my God, man.
I give you that he's great. Obviously, he's the third best quarterback. That's why he's in the top three. But to sit there and tell me that, he's on that level where we could sit there and be like, he's definitely, you know, he could be better than Tom Brady or he could be better than
Nobody ever said that, bro.
Exactly. That's my point. When we were sitting there arguing about. When people were talking about the three elite quarterbacks, the four elite quarterbacks, they're interchangeable. You can sit there and say maybe Drew Brees was better than Tom Brady. You can sit there and say maybe Tom Brady was better than Peyton Manning. Maybe Peyton Manning is better than Tom Brady. When we was talking about elite is just throwing it in the air. There's no confusion when you bring Ben Roethlisberger in that elite class. There's no confusion, bro. He's not. Better.
To me, bro, you could argue Ben Roethlisberger and Aaron Rodgers all day because they're similar in their accomplishments. Because they have similar accomplishments to this point in their respective careers. Tom Brady, Tom Brady's been in the league since 2001, bro. Really got that. He's good to go. Like, he's so far off that you can't compare nobody to him.
Here's the problem. You're sitting there and telling, you're acting like it's just a career thing. I'm not talking about a career. I'm talking about what I see off my eyes. I can't sit there and say the man is
more talented than Tom Brady, bro. Like, what are you talking about, bro?
It's not just pure. I'm talking about career. You just talked about career, right?
So you said it's not career. Now you just said I'm not talking about career. Now you just said I am talking about career. Bro. America, don't listen to me, man. Bro, let's go on. Next question.
What did I say about? Listen, I said you're talking about careers. What Tom Brady did, what Aaron Rodgers did, I'm not talking about.
The team I want to watch, man, I want to see Todd Gurley against the Cleveland Browns. I want to see the unstoppable force against a very immovable object called the Cleveland Browns rush defense, bro. I want to see what how they try to stop Todd Gurley today. That's to answer your original question, bro. I'm real proud, bro.
I will say, Herb, that's actually an interesting matchup. I didn't think Gurley would be getting off like this coming off the injury. He has been impressive in his definitely the few games that he has played. And the Browns have a putrid run defense. I think they're ranked 25th to 26th, somewhere down in the bottom. So it should be a massacre in the run game, at least for the Rams. And with that defense they have, particularly the front seven that they have, they could definitely make it a long day for Mr. Josh McCown. That's definitely two interesting matchups. But in any case, the show will be coming to a close today. I hope to be back, let's say, maybe sometime on Tuesday when we see all the games. Sometime Tuesday in the afternoon. So we'll be back probably around 4 or 5 on Tuesday, and we'll be talking about all the games that happened, or at least the most interesting results and what's going on. I'd like to thank Herbie and Gerson for joining me on today's show, and I'd like to thank everybody who gave the show a listen this morning. And everybody, enjoy your football weekend, and we'll be back Tuesday. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Hey.